pure. Lord, our great end, the great goal that we're headed for is to be completely in you and you completely in us. And so we thank you for coming to live in us when we were found by you. Thank you for making your home in our heart. Thank you for bringing us together so your home could be in our congregation, in our gathering. And we pray that you would be present in our congregation tonight, our gathering, and help us to have our eyes on the horizon where you're taking us, the time when we'll have no sin in the way, no sorrow, but to be in your temple, in your holy place. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would be present this evening as we enjoy the gift of hearing this testimony. Amen.
So Pastor Dane has asked me to introduce Fred, and some of you are asking, well, what's the connection? And, you know, as we go, this will be really short, as we go through life, occasionally you run across people that you see that are walking in the faith, and somehow it just impacts you, and you know that there's something there that is far beyond just the ability of mankind to produce. And Fred was one of those men that it wasn't focused on what he did and how he did things, but just who he was. So I got to know Fred maybe about 7 years. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, this is going to have to be down for Fred, but I'll lower it again. So I got to know Fred about 7 years ago in Juneau at a retreat. And then our lives somehow connected, our hearts connected, and it wasn't so much because we did the same things, but that the core, somewhere in the core, our hearts touched. And I can honestly say that I've got to know this man, and his testimony is true. And he has a knowledge of God that I'm still wanting to grow in. It's his love for me and my love for him has been something new in my life. For another male figure like that, I can honestly say that he knows every single thing about me. There isn't one layer that he can peel back and find a sin or a secret or something hidden. And that feeling of transparency and being loved by the love of God has been life-changing. And the same, I know everything about him. So, Fred, I'd like to have you come up here and tell us your wonderful story about your walk with Jesus and I'll have the honor of praying for you here.
So. God, thank you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, as we stand here, just as all humble people, just open our hearts and our eyes to see that you're a big God that we could never put into a box or a formula or a way of doing things or even in our own mentality of how we should be because you are who you are. But I ask that you would speak through this man here as he just shares his humble life before us, that we can glean and learn and at the end of the night get a little bit more of a glimpse of who you are. We ask your blessing upon him in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Glory to God. Well, I'm sure happy to see you people here. It's a joy for me to come home. Haines is home for me. Tlaquan is home for me. And when I told my family that I was coming to Haines to go to Presbyterian Church, I said, that's my mom's church. That's what I call this place. My mom, Daisy Phillips. She was faithful to this place, and I praise God for that. You know. But I grew up here in Haines umpteen hundred years ago. And I went to a government Bible school for 2 years while I was here. Then when I was in third grade, they switched me over to the public school here. And I was happy to go. My mom and dad bought me a new jacket for school. And I wore it for the first time going to school. And they gave me a locker to hang my coat in, so I did. And when it was time to go home, I went back to the locker. and the coat was all shredded. They literally tore it up, and I only wore it that one time. I did not understand it. I picked up the jacket, went out behind the school, and just sat on the ground crying. I don't know how long I was there. I finally took my coat, went home, and we lived right next to the school, about 2 or 3 minutes away. They were already having supper, and I walked in the back door, and I looked at my dad. I showed him my jacket. I said, "Why, Dad?" And I'm crying. Says, "Why, Dad, did they do this to me?" Took my brother and I, Paul, to the front room and said, I should have talked to you boys a long time ago. He says, "There's prejudice in this town because of who we are, natives." I didn't understand. I didn't even know what prejudice meant. You know, but I learned to endure it. I got into a lot of fights in school because of who I am. I never looked for trouble, but it came to me. And I learned how to protect myself. And I cried for the first time in that school. And I went home. I told myself, "I'll never cry here again. Never." I knew I had to make myself physically strong, but what happened, it made myself very hard-hearted. I didn't care for anybody, not even myself. Hallelujah. I couldn't have any friend. I couldn't have any boyfriend. I didn't have any girlfriend because they wouldn't have anything to do with me because of who I was. I was a native. I'd go to dances, ask different girls to dance with them. They would run away from me, wouldn't even touch me. But I learned to live with it. Amen. Hallelujah. So when I graduated there in 58, there was only 5 of us in high school, senior class at the time, whole 5 of us. After I graduated, I went down to Haskell to go to mechanic school, and went there for 2 years. When I came back home to Haines here, there was a young native lady. Her name was Dolly. Very beautiful, I thought. You know, she came by me, wanted to talk to me, wanted to be with me, and I had no idea what for. God, I never thought of myself as anything or anybody. But she kept coming by me. Finally went out, had a milkshake together at Dave's place, got a little soda joint. We started going together. Amen. And I thought she was so beautiful. I thought to myself, what in the world is this beautiful woman coming by me for? Yeah, what does she see in me? Yeah, I never thought of myself as anything or anybody. I just learned how to fight people. You know, the kids here in school at that time were hitting me in the side of the head with baseball bats, pool balls, sticks, stones, you name it, they hit me in the head with it. But I still endured it all. Amazingly, not one cut ever came upon me, no matter how hard they hit me. I grabbed the bat out of their hand, jerk it out of their hand, and take off running. Because the thing that didn't hurt me. I have no idea why, but I still endured it. Amen. Oh boy. I was going home one day from playing by myself behind the school. I was 9 years old, and I'm walking past the shop next to our house, summertime. And as I walked by, I heard the Lord call me. He said, "Son," I stopped. I didn't look around. I knew it was God. I said, "Yes, Lord. I'm calling you into the ministry." I said, "Okay. Now what do I do?" I didn't have anybody. The only one that loved me was my grandmother, and she died in 52 when she was almost 100 years old. And the only thing she did is she spoke Tlingit, nothing else. But one thing I noticed staying with her, she read the Bible every day. I don't know how she read it because it's all in English. But she'd read it every day, faithfully. Pray. Oh, she could pray, that woman, you know. And I stayed at her in Tlaquan. One thing I noticed is on Wednesdays, her and four other women would go to the church Wednesday afternoon, and one of them could play the piano. And they'd sing gospel songs and Tlingit. And she told me to sit still in the back row there, you know. Back then, when Grandma said, "Sit still," you sat still. I don't see that today. But I sat still there and just listened to them singing gospel songs and Tlingit. And I was in awe of her, because the presence of God would come in, and I didn't know it, but I could feel it. I just sat there in the chair listening to them sing songs. And that was my grandmother. Oh, praise God for her. Because that's the only place I got love from. Mom and Dad never did tell me they loved me. They told all the other children they loved them, all the other 10 children. But not me. I don't know why, but I learned to stay by myself. I just go out to 1 mile there and sit on a big rock there while watching the river flow down, watching different birds, animals, fish, whatnot, just thinking, why am I being treated this way? But I lived through it. Amen. And this lady, Dolly, she moved back to Juneau because that's where she's going to school. And so when I was through working at the sawmill, I went down there to stay with her. Stay, be by her, I should say. And we started going together, fell in love, even though I didn't know what love was. Yeah, the first time she told me she loved me, I had no idea what that meant. I just said, "Okay." What do I know, you know? But I learned to love her. She gave me something I couldn't get anywhere else. That was the love, one-on-one. We got married in January 20th, 1962. Walter Soboloff married us. I praise God for that, because I love that man. He was an awesome man of God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Well, Billy and I, we made a home there in Juneau. I worked for, back then, Connors Motors, a Chevrolet dealer. Bueller Lee was the owner of it, and I was making pretty good money. And I prayed God it was enough for Dolly and I to live together and have our own apartment with our own clothes and bedding and everything. And I prayed God for that. You know, glory, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. I didn't like alcohol growing up, because my brother and sister, my uncles and my mom and dad drank a lot back then. And I couldn't stand it. I hated it. My brother, older brother, got drunk several times. I had to walk him home. You know, I didn't pack. I made him walk the whole way, you know, taking you to the whole road. But he'd make it home. I didn't start drinking until I was, I didn't know what alcohol tasted like until 25. My wife wanted to go dancing. Back then, the only place that was open was a bar called Dreamland, and they had a dance floor and a dance band. So we went there. That's the first time I ever tasted alcohol. It didn't take me long to become an alcoholic. 10 years, I was gone. You know? But I wanted to stop. But I couldn't. Because I seen what they were doing to my wife. I was treating her like I'm king of the hill. That's it, period. When I was drunk. And I did not like that. I hated myself for that reason. January 22nd, 1977, I woke up about 8 o'clock in the morning, and alongside my bed was a little TV, and Pat Robertson was on the TV at the time. I sat up, looked at him, and said, "I'm going to say a prayer now. If anybody wants a change in life, you don't like the way you're living, pray this prayer with me, and God will touch you." I laid my hand on that television. I prayed that prayer that he prayed, and I was stone sober once I said amen. Never to touch alcohol or cigarettes ever again. Because I tried to quit many times on my own, but you couldn't, you know. I'll just have one beer, I'll be fine. Yeah, one beer. You know, once I gave my heart to God, that's it. I just started reading the Bible, and I never could get enough of it. I kept reading over and over and over and over. I read it about 10, 12 times every year for 15 years. I didn't have anybody to associate with. Walter Soboloff transferred out of his church because Urban Renewal took our church away. Memorial Presbyterian Church down there toward the harbor. And so he just moved to Tennessee. Hallelujah. And during that time, Dolly started getting arthritis in her body, real light. And then in fall of 86, the Lord came by me and said, "Son," I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Your wife is going to get very sick here real soon. She's going to need somebody to take care of her 24/7. He said, "Will you do it?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. But I need one thing from you before that happens." He said, "What is that, son?" Just, "I want to make sure you're with me 24/7 because I know I couldn't do it all on my own." And it's like I could hear a small laugh from him. He said, "Son," I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "I've always been there." But once he said that to me, I knew I could do it. And all of a sudden, Dolly just got sick, arthritis throughout her whole body, couldn't walk, couldn't move her arms, her neck was bent, her back was bent. Incredible pain, arthritis throughout her whole body. What they call iritis got into the eyes, it's a form of arthritis, made her go blind. She only had 15% vision in one eye. I told the vision she had just blurry. So I had to take care of her 24/7, and the Lord told me to read the Bible to her when she's laying down. And she'd lay down almost all the time. So I get the Bible and read it to her 2, 3, 4 hours straight at a time, just nonstop, just reading to her, praying for her, laying hands on her, and she'd fall asleep. And I go out to the front room and just sit there thanking God that she fell asleep. Because she's just so much pain in that body of hers, from arthritis throughout her whole body. In the fall of 87, I ran out of money to buy fuel for the house, our home. We lived up on Barrett Avenue. We still do. And so our house got pretty cold, and I couldn't buy any fuel to warm up the house for her. And her and I had a business, auto repair shop, so I had several people that owed me money. I went to them, asking for them to pay me for the work I did in their car, and they wouldn't. They refused me. Even though some of them belonged to a Native corporation getting $1,000 a month, they still wouldn't help me. I begged them for a dollar. Give me a dollar so I can get some fuel to get the house warm for my wife. So for 2 years, we didn't have any heat in the home. You know, I asked the churches, I asked the state, I asked the federal building, the federal government, I asked everybody, all the Dana corporations, none of them would help me back then. But praise God, early 88, Dolly got in real sick. I took her to the clinic, and they found out the medicine they were giving her were turning toxic in her body, killing her from the inside out. So they had to stop all medications to her for 6 weeks until it all dissipated out of her body. I tell you, I could not believe the pain she suffered those 6 weeks. It's awful to watch. You care for her. You try to help her best way you can. All I could do is pray and read the Bible to her. The Lord told me, he said, son, read healing scriptures to her. So I went to my Bible, marked all the healing scriptures I could find, and I'd read them to her. Over and over and over, just read 3, 4 hours straight at a time until she'd fall asleep. And when she falls asleep, I go to the front room there. During that, about the third week, I guess, something like that, I fell on my knees. I'm crying to God. I said, Lord, take my life. Give it to her that she may live. You have no idea what you're going to ask for until you live through it. And I lived through it. And so did she. It was awful. I pray nobody ever gets that way that I know of. Because the body can incredibly suffer. No pain medicine. Nothing you can do except try to keep her warm, comfortable, and pray. I prayed for her continuously, 24/7. I rarely slept for 3, 4 days at a time, maybe sleep for a half hour or so and get back up again, start praying for her some more. But one night, I'm kneeling on the bed next to her, praying for her, praying for her. All of a sudden, I heard her voice. She could barely talk. She said, "Please help me." I grabbed her, picked up her head, and I started yelling at the devil. I said, "You miserable devil, you get out of here. You don't belong here. She doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. So get out. Don't you ever come back." I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, you know, at the devil for trying to take her life. She lived. I just prayed for her some more. Read the Bible to her some more. Over and over and over. Every book in the Bible to her. Amen. But we made it through. October 14th, 1991. Rodney Howard Brown came to Juneau. An evangelist from South Africa. And Dolly heard about it and she wanted to go, so I took her. We got there about 7:30 at night when their praise and worship just got over. And at the Bethel Assembly of God, where they had it, was jam-packed. But I found a chair in the back row that I could sit on and put her in a wheelchair. And we sat there till about 10 o'clock, 10:30 that night, 10 o'clock. Rodney said, "Anybody want prayer, come on up in line here." And Dolly wanted to go, so I pushed her up there. About 100 people in line there. We were about 3/4 of the way down. He's praying for the people. They're going out. Just going out. Came by her, laid hands on her, and she fell back in the wheelchair like she was asleep. He prayed for me, too, because I was standing right next to her. But I didn't go down. I just want to stay up to watch her. Within minutes, her body started shaking, just like that. Her arms, her back, her leg, just shaking. I said, "Praise God. This is the night you promised us, Lord, that you're going to heal her." That's all I said to myself. About 15 minutes later, she starts waking up, sitting up on a wheelchair. And Rodney came back, looked at her and said, "Lady, what was wrong with you?" She says, "I have arthritis." She said, "Can you walk?" I said, "Just a few steps. I got to either sit down or fall down." Like I remember, I said, she's blind in her eyes. Somehow, she saw Rodney's hand reach out to her. She grabbed it and jumped out of that wheelchair without any bit of my help. Usually I got to put my arms underneath her armpits, stand her up, move the wheelchair out of the way and pack her to where she wants to go. This time, she jumped out of the wheelchair by herself. Started to do what I call the arthritis shuffle. You can't lift your feet off the floor, just slide it along. About 15 feet from me, I noticed it turning into a small step, a little step, but it's a step. And about 25 feet from me, I saw God hit her again. It looked like, it sounded like electrical shock, hitting her on top of the head, going right through about right out of her feet. At that instant, her neck straightened up, her back straightened up, her arms straightened up, her legs straightened up, and she started to walk perfectly. The church, I guess there's about 500-600 people in there, they were screaming, shouting, clapping, everything. You know, like a good high school basketball game, 1 point difference, you know, the way it sounded in there. But he walked her around. And amazingly, she didn't hear it. All she heard was the voice of God to Rodney Howard Brown cursing arthritis out of her body. He walked her around, brought her back to me, said, "Now you walk her around." So I walked her around too, came back for him. Good God, you have no idea. Beautiful that looked to see her walk. Oh my God, with no pain. Not one bit of pain. He prayed for us and we both went down that time. When she was getting up, the doctor told her to don't ever get in that wheelchair again. Just push it out. Give it back. So she never got in that wheelchair ever again throughout her whole life. We went home, got home by 1 o'clock in the morning. She walked in the house all by herself. You know what I just did, honey? I said, yes, honey, I saw it. She walked in the house by herself. We joined hands. We were praising God together for healing her in such a marvelous way, a miracle. Glory unto God. We were going to go to bed. Phone rang. I answered it, and it's a lady from Fairbanks. She said, is this the home of the lady who got out of the wheelchair? I said, yes, it is. She said, may I talk with her? I said, you sure can. And I phoned to Dolly, and they talked together, and they're both, you could hear them both crying. You know, Dolly prayed for the lady, hung up. I tried to go to bed again. Phone rang again. A lady from Portland called. Is this the home of the lady who got out of the wheelchair tonight? I said, yes, it is. May I talk with her? So I gave Dolly the phone, and they two talked for about 10 minutes, both crying together. I said goodbye and hung up the phone. We went to bed. An amazing thing happened. I turned out the lights, and the house is still lit up. Light of God all around the corner of the house. He did that for 6 weeks. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why'd you do that? He said, I gave her back the 6 weeks that she suffered with all that pain. I thought that was so awesome, Lord Jesus. It's incredible to be in his presence 24/7, Dolly and I. I think we fell asleep, I don't remember. The peace of God is awesome. And I've experienced it many times, Dolly and I together, and then by myself now. And I give God all the praise and glory because he comes by us. Amen. Dolly walked pain-free. Oh, January 20th, 1993, God gave her her eyes back. You wouldn't believe it. 20/20 vision, just like that. The doctor checked her out, said, it's a, what happened, Dolly? To God, 20/20 vision. We're in Anchorage. She wants to walk around to look at all the different colors that we could see all over Anchorage. 45 below. Didn't feel one bit of cold. We walked around for a good hour or so. Look at that blue car. Look at that red house. Look at that red sign over there. You know, just marveling at color that you could see again. Amazing. Amazing. God is awesome. When he's with you, boy, you can count on it. He's with you 24/7. Amen. There are other parts I wanted to share with you. Went to doctor's appointment after she was healed. Dr. Peterson who was treating her. And usually we get to the room, we wait there 15 minutes for him to come in. This time, Dolly comes running through the door and he's already there looking at all her records, what to do next for her. He looked at her, said, "What happened to you?" Said, "I've been healed." "Of what?" "Arthritis. I don't have it no more." "Well, who did it?" And she said, "Jesus Christ took all my pain away. And now I walk free." And he just sat there, arm to his side, not moving for about 20 minutes. Dolly said, "Let's go home. He's not moving." And like he woke up and said, "Oh, wait a minute, Dolly said, "Get up on the examine table. I want to check you out." Checked all her joints. "Did it hurt? Did it hurt? Did it hurt?" She kept saying, "No, no, no." She started laughing. He said, "Well, do one more test. Draw some blood. Check your sed rate count. Sed rate count tells you how much arthritis you got." He drew the blood himself, sent it to the lab. They came running back about 10 minutes later. He said, "Doc, are you sure this is Dolly's blood?" He said, "Yes, I drew it myself." He says, "Why?" "Because it's pure blood. There's no arthritis in it anywhere." Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. No arthritis. Totally healed by a miracle from God Almighty. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Dr. Peterson. He says, "Well, Dolly, I'm glad you're healed. I'm glad you can walk. I'm glad there's no pain. I wish I could have helped you." And I told Doc, "Well, Doc, during those 5 years, you were there. You kept her going. She should have died 4 times from her organs shutting down from the arthritis. But Dr. Peterson was there. Kept her going. And I thank him for that." Amen. Another doctor came in from Sitka, Dr. Bridges. He heard about Dolly's healing. So he wanted to see her. They called her up on the phone and said, "Dr. Bridges wants to see you, arthritis specialist from Sitka." Dolly told him, "I don't need to see him anymore." He said, "No, but Dr. Bridges wants to see you." So he went there, he looked at her. He couldn't believe what he was looking at. A totally healed woman. No pain. No arthritis, but I'm reading above all, no pain. God Almighty, God Almighty. He said, "I want to see you again in a couple of years just to see how you're doing." I said, "Okay, I'll be here." And a Dr. Templin from Anchorage, arthritis specialist, came down, wanted to see her. He looked at her and said, "Oh my God, you're a different person, Dolly." Dolly said, "Well, I'm the same person, only I don't have no arthritis no more." And he too just examined her real lightly, couldn't find any pain anywhere. And he was amazed. He asked, how did this happen? So Rodney Howard Brown came from South Africa. "Did you know? Prayed for her and God healed her." So he wanted to meet Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. We told him where he was going to be at. Amen. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. I got a lot of things running through my mind about Dolly. September 1st, 1999, she started getting sick again, not from arthritis. Took her to the clinic, and they found out her liver wasn't working anymore. So they sent us over to Sitka to the specialist over there, Mount Edgecombe. And they tried everything to heal her too. Give her shots of different kind. A doctor called all over the West Coast trying to find a replacement for her. Couldn't find any that would match her. And there are two doctors there. One is a young doctor. The young doctor came by me the fifth day that she was still alive. He's crying. He says, "Fred, I'm sorry. I wanted to save your wife, but I couldn't. Forgive me." I said, "Doc, there's nothing to forgive. You tried all you could, all the knowledge you have. It just that it wasn't her time." September 6th, my Dolly died. 9:47 a.m. I was holding her when she died. That was the hardest thing I have ever done. Watch her die. God showed me something that I'll never forget. I saw her spirit with two angels taken up into heaven. She already got her white gown on. She's looking straight up into heaven. Big smile on her face. Going to heaven. Amen. I told her, "When you pass away, honey, we had two children together, but they both died in infancy." And I told her, "Okay, when you get up there, you'll see our two boys, and you're going to see your real dad for the first time." Her real dad died when she was only 16 months old, so she never got to know her dad. And now she's by him forever. 2 or 3 days, I'm back in Juneau. I bury my wife. I never want to do that again. Watch them put her in the ground. In fact, I couldn't. I turned away. They buried her. September 9th, 1999, they buried her. Oh, man alive, that pain of losing someone you love is incredible. It's in your heart, and it's really unbearable. I'm home alone in my home now. I'm sitting there in my bedroom just wailing, crying, missing her. 2 days after I buried her, I'm sitting in the bedroom. I'm guessing 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm just sitting there crying. All of a sudden, I heard the Lord come in the bedroom by me. I tried to wipe my face off. I sat straight up. He said, "Son." I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Look up." I look up into the ceiling there. All of a sudden, the ceiling opened up. I saw my wife, my two boys. Wife is dancing with them in heaven. She looks so beautiful. 30 years old, long black hair. And our two boys dancing with her. We serve an awesome God. He does these things for you when you seek Him. And that's something I do every day in my life. I seek Him. I want to be with you, Lord Jesus. I love being by your side. I love you being by my side. Oh, an incident just hit me. During the 6 weeks' time taking care of Dolly, when she couldn't take any more medicine, I finally got her to sleep. I'm wore out. I walked down to the stairway, going downstairs to our house. About halfway down, I just sat on the steps. I cried out to God. I said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I am totally wore out. I'm running out of strength, energy. I closed my eyes and I'm crying. I leaned forward like that. All of a sudden I felt these huge arms come around me. I didn't open my eyes, but I knew it was God. I leaned my head on his shoulder and cried there. I don't know how long I cried. I just cried. I thanked him for coming by me, giving me strength, energy, wisdom, and anointing to keep helping Dolly until she got healed. Isn't God awesome? You know, I couldn't believe it. Jesus, God Almighty, coming to me. Oh, hallelujah. We are a blessed people. Believe it. Keep searching for Jesus, and you will find him. Amen. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, and 14. 12 says, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. You call on me and I will answer you. I will be with you, says the Lord. I hang on to the scriptures even today. How powerful is that? Call on me and I will be with you. That's powerful. And I've been with him many times. I praise God for the privilege of being with him. I took a man out to the airport after Dolly died. And I'm driving home by myself. And I started praising God out loud because I'm alone in the car. Glory, hallelujah, praise you, Lord, glory, hallelujah. But halfway to town, I get hit by God Almighty. I'm going on a road like that. I couldn't even see the car. Jesus, I tried looking in the mirror. I didn't see no car behind me and none ahead of me, so I knew I was safe, but I got to stay on the road. I made it home, okay. Praise God for that privilege. You call on me, and I'll be there. That's what I do. I call on him every day. First wake up. Good morning, Lord. Morning, Abba. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good to be with you. Thank you for being with me. And this is something I do every day. Because I want to be with Lord God Almighty. God, then good things happen. Amen. That's all I can remember right now. I thank you people for coming. God bless you for being here. May God bless you, amen, immensely for listening to me. I thank Dana for putting John and I up. This guy feeds us good 8 times a day. Well, 3 anyway. And my brother Al and his wife Lori bring us up. He paid for us to come here. John and I, that we give the testimony. I praise God for my brother Al and his wife Lori. Thank you, Dana. Thank you, people, for hearing me. God bless you.
Let's have a word of prayer before we go and sing. Gracious God, we thank you. You do marvelous and mysterious things. And we thank you for Fred, Lord, how you were there with him in the loneliness of his childhood, the sorrows. Lord, how you comforted him with a wife that he truly loved. We thank you, Jesus, for being with him in the sorrow of watching her in pain and the miracles that you did to deliver her. Lord, pray that you continue to walk with Fred so that he can bear witness to you, so that we can know more about you and we can know the power that you have to touch our lives.
Jesus.
Lord, we pray that you would do great works of healing in our hearts, in our community.
Jesus.
In our bodies, Lord, things that we would never believe possible.
Jesus.
Because that's the kind of God you are, and you're coming back to reclaim the whole earth as your throne and as your dwelling place.
Yes, Lord.
So we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, who was born for us, died for us, rose for us, and who prays for us now. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, we're going to sing some more. Thank you, Fred.